Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, saints of God. Good morning. And that rock that is higher than I and you and us is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are talking about the God who delivers the needy, the poor, and the weak. Our scripture text for this week is, "For he, God, shall deliver the needy when he crieth also, and him that have no helper. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, we approach your throne of grace, knowing that you invite us to come, that we may find grace to help in the time of need. And what a needy people we are. Bless us, O God, we pray. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us in the midst of what we see throughout the land. Rebellion against God. Blasphemers taking God's name in vain. Men and women bathing in sin, rolling in the muck and the mire of perversion. Oh God, we are living in the days of Noah, living in the days of Lot. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to remain light in the world and salt in the earth. This we ask, this we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Psalm 72 was written by a king of Israel. His name is Solomon. This is a Solomonic psalm. Solomon is the son of the most famous psalmist, King David, who also wrote many of the psalms that we love and many of the psalms that encourage us to trust God no matter what. This royal psalm, Psalm 72, reminds us and tells us that our God is a mighty deliverer. Who shall he deliver? Well, he delivers the needy, the poor, and him who has no helper. When does God deliver them? Well, he delivers them when they turn to him in prayer and cry from the depths of their hearts unto him. Today I want to talk to you about the God who delivers the needy, the needy. Needy saints cry out to God and are delivered. The Hebrew adjective ebyon, signifying that a person is in want or need of material goods. Thus, a needy person is a person in need of finances or things that finances can secure, like housing, like raiment, clothes on one's back, food, transportation. A needy person is a person in need, need of material goods. In this text, Solomon is suggesting that the people who are needy are so because they have been oppressed and abused by either one, the very rich, or two, the very powerful. A needy person is one who has had a sudden, unexpected reversal of fortunes, like the loss of a job or sickness. You know, people get sick. People have their jobs, and then all of a sudden they're in a car accident, or they come down with a chronic illness, and now they're living off of a disability paycheck, which is not the amount they were receiving before when they were going to work and earning their keep. So now they are at the mercy of the government and what the government doles out through SSI. And so it's not a lot. And so they've had a reversal of fortune and as such now find themselves in great need. They can't pay their mortgage. They can't pay their car note. They can't afford their medicines. They can't buy much food. They are in need. As I said before, in this psalm, Solomon is suggesting that the oppression and the abuse of the very rich and powerful has caused some to join the class of the needy. As we see here in the picture, here is Ruth, the Moabitish daughter-in-law, and here she is gleaning in the fields of a rich man by the name of Boaz, and there she is. She's in need. She's a needy woman. She doesn't have a job, and her mother-in-law does not have a job. And so Ruth is at the mercy of a very merciful man, good man, named Boaz, who owns many fields and who allows the poor to come behind his reapers to glean and to take what is left in the field, the needy people in special need. Now, of course, the text is referring to those who are in need of natural things in comparison to spiritual things. Today, I want to move away from the natural and I want to talk about the spiritual, because it is the spiritual that has caused us to come into want in the natural. Allow me to explain. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be reading about the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea is the last of the seven churches. And the Church of Laodicea is a picture of today's church. Each one of these seven churches, picture of Christendom over 2,000 years. The first church is the Church of Ephesus. The first church represents the apostolic church period, which went about from the year 33 AD to the year 100. So the Church of Ephesus represents the churches of God, the primitive church under the leadership of the apostles. The Church of Smyrna starts at the year 100, and it goes to about the year 313, and that represents the persecuted church period, because from the year 100 to the year 313, the Church of Jesus Christ underwent 10 imperial persecutions at the hands of the Roman Empire. So as you can see, each one of these churches represents a period in church history, and we can actually see history being fulfilled, starting with the apostolic church and ending today with our church, the Church of Laodicea. The Laodicean church is our present day church. And I want you to read with me starting in chapter 3, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking, and if you attend our church, if you attend Grace Church on a Sunday morning, there is a stained glass window that is completely lit every Sunday, and it shows Jesus knocking on the door of a building. Well, that's what we're going to read right now. Revelation 3:17, Jesus says, and he's speaking to the church, because you say, I am rich, and I have increased with goods, and have need of nothing. What are we talking about today? We're talking about the needy. Who are the needy? Well, those who are in need. Sometimes it can refer to those who are in need of natural things like a roof over their head, clothes on their backs, food in their bellies. Or, in this case, Jesus is referring to you're in need of spiritual things. Because you say, This is speaking of the whole church. Because you say, I am rich and I am increased with goods and have need of nothing, don't you know that you are wretched? Don't you know you're miserable? Don't you know you're poor? Don't you know you're blind? Don't you know you're naked? You see, Jesus here is speaking to the church and he's saying, listen, you are spiritually wretched, spiritually miserable, spiritually poor, spiritually blind, spiritually naked, although you have a huge building, you have lots of real estate holdings, you have much money in the bank, you tell me you are in need of nothing natural, but I tell you when it comes to the spirit, you are bankrupt. Now, this is not a call out to Grace Church. I'm not using this text to say to Grace Church, this is you. I'm using this text to show that this is all of Christendom. Remember, the Church of Laodicea represents a period in church history. What period? The present period. The seventh church is the last church. The seventh church is the kind of church that Jesus will find when he comes back. Churches who own lots of property, own millions of dollars in real estate, have fat bank accounts, but yet who are spiritually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Needy, needy, needy. A needy person is a person in need, in need. What are we in need of? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. We're in need of God and of Christ. We are in need of God and of Christ. Notice what Paul says. Grace be unto you. You know, the church does not manufacture grace. We, pastors, deacons, trustees, church leaders, we cannot manufacture grace. Paul says, grace be unto you and peace. Again, you and I cannot manufacture peace. These are gifts from God. Grace be unto you and peace. And they come to us by means of God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How many churches are needy? How many churches desperately need the grace of God and the peace of God? What else do the churches need? Well, there's a famine of the word. I must say, yes, we have not hit rock bottom yet, economically speaking, in this country, as I was referring to yesterday. Financially, you can still go to the bank and take out your money. The bank's not holding on to your money. The bank's not saying, we're not going to give you anything. There's a day coming very soon when you're going to go to the bank and want to make a withdrawal, and the bank's going to say, sorry. That's coming soon. It's already starting to happen. If you go to the bank, if you have XYZ amount of money in the bank and you try to take it all out, they'll say, sorry, we'll only let, and we know it's your money, but this is all we're going to give you. We're just going to give you this putrid amount. And that's what they're doing to people. They're only allowing people who have vast sums of money in the bank, they're only allowing them to take little amounts out each and every day. But the day is going to come when people are going to go to the bank in this country and they're going to try to make a withdrawal and the bank's going to say, sorry, we can't do that today. And don't come back tomorrow. We'll let you know when. We'll send you a letter in the mail when we might have your money. It's your money. You own, it's your money. The bank knows they have this money. It's yours. But they're not going to give it to you. That day's coming. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet, and we can still go to the supermarket and
the shelves are lined with food. We're not there yet. But when it comes to spiritual things, there's a famine of the word. All throughout this land, preaching goes on Sunday after Sunday, and the sermons are just gibberish, nonsense, foolishness. There's a famine of the word. There's a famine of grace and peace. There's also a shortage of the Holy Spirit, not because the Holy Spirit is short, but because the church has grieved the Holy Spirit to a point where now the Holy Spirit has departed from many churches as he departed from Samson, as he laid in the lap of Delilah, the harlot, playing in sin. Samson knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him, but it had already departed. Many churches are devoid of the presence of the mighty Holy Spirit. So what are we in need of? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, for it is from God that all blessings flow. It is from the Father of lights, as James says in James 1:17, that all blessings come from the Father of lights. There's a shortage now. The church is in need of the triune God. It's in need of God's word. It's in need of a mighty operation of the Holy Spirit. Today, more than ever, the need of this age, the need of this hour is to have a mighty demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. When that happens, the first thing that will come to an end is playing church. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up, he will make sure that God's people become holy. And when we become holy, there's no playing, there's living church. And so, how do we get the help of God the Father for these special spiritual needs that we have? How do we get all of God's blessings for Grace Church? How do we secure God's blessings for St. Johnsville? How do we secure God's spiritual blessings for this valley that we live in, for this general area that we live in? How do we secure that? Solomon said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. See, if God's people cry to him, then he will heal their lands and heal all their woes. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and we have seen the Lord high and lifted up. Today's church is the Laodicean church. Look what the Lord says. Let's go back to Revelation 3:17. And again, this is not speaking of one specific church. I'm not reading this scripture to say this is the Lutheran church in St. Johnsville, or this is the Reformed church in St. Johnsville, or this is what the Methodist church in St. Johnsville looks like, or this is specifically speaking of Grace Church. No, this is a picture of Christendom, of the whole church, right before Christ comes. Because you say, I am rich and increase with natural goods and have need of nothing, Don't you know that you are wretched? Don't you know you're miserable? Don't you know you're poor? Don't you know you're blind and naked? I advise you, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiments. There you go again, that holiness, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and that you would anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, and here's that beautiful stained glass window that is lit every Sunday at our church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will, and I will sup with him, and he with me. You see, what are we in need of? Jesus. What are we in need of? God the Father. What are we in need of? The Holy Spirit. What are we in need of? True and proven Christianity. True and proven. Because we are living in the Laodicean church age. It's a sad church age. But this is the church age we live in. And this is the church age we must minister in. And this is the church age that we must reverse the negative trends in the church. We must get the church back on track spiritually. Why? Because the church is in need of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and everything that the triune God has to offer to his covenant people. So let us pray, and let us seek the Lord, that we be needy no more, that we be in need not of the spiritual things that Christ pointed out here in the text. Although we may have cars in our driveways, food in our freezers, money in the bank, good health, we have it all, and yet we haven't realized that some way, somehow, we think we're walking with the Lord. We think we're serving the Lord. But when he looks at us, he says, you're needy. May God have mercy. I'll be back tomorrow to continue this series. God bless you, saints.
Praise you, Lord. God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can explode into your presence. We recognize you're holy and you're magnificent. So, Lord, we've come to arise and to shine and to give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah.